Chapter 35. She had been shot twice in the chest as she got out of her car in the driveway of her house on Northside Drive. Her body turned toward the back of the car as if she had turned to see what was behind her. Anthony D'Angelo had found her on routine patrol. She had fallen with the car door open and one foot still caught on the edge of the car. Anthony had seen the car with its interior lights on and stopped to take a look. "It's Abby Taylor," D'Angelo said to Jesse when he arrived. Jesse nodded. "Dead people don't look much different at first," he thought. "Just like live people, except that they don't move." He stared down at her face. "No," he thought. "It's more than that. You look at them, there's something missing." Her position would have embarrassed her. He reached down and moved her leg and smoothed her skirt down. She was still flexible. Peter Perkins arrived with his crime scene kits. Suitcase Simpson was setting up lights. The ambulance pulled in. Anthony was stringing the crime scene tape. "She live alone?" Suitcase asked. "She live with a guy," Jesse said. He was still looking absently down at the body. "Nobody answering the door," Simpson said, "or the phone." "He's in Chicago," Jesse said. Simpson stared at Jesse and started to speak. Then he didn't. One of the techs from the ambulance came over and knelt down beside Abby. He took her pulse automatically, though he knew she was dead. "Just like the other ones, Jesse," the tech said. "Two in the chest." "Her purse is still in her car," Perkins said. "Cold night," the tech said. "Make time of death a little harder." "She died within the last hour," Jesse said. The tech looked up as if he were going to ask a question. Suitcase Simpson put a hand on his shoulder. The tech glanced at him. Simpson shook his head. Perkins began to photograph the crime scene. A few neighbors had straggled out into the cold, coats on over sleepwear, hunched against the cold, staring aimlessly. Jesse was motionless, looking down at the body. "You know where this guy might be in Chicago?" Simpson asked. Jesse shook his head. "Anthony will ask a few neighbors," Simpson said. "Maybe they'll know, or know where he works, and the people at work will know." Jesse nodded. "Hate to just leave a note for him to call." "We won't leave a note," Jesse said. "If you can't reach him, leave someone here until you do." "What if it's a couple of days?" Simpson said. "Leave someone here if you can't reach him," Jesse said. "Okay, Jesse." The other cops went about their crime scene business very quietly, like people in a sick room. Jesse continued to look at Abby. After a while, the EMTs loaded her onto a gurney and slid her into the back of the ambulance. Jesse watched them silently. The ambulance pulled away. Peter Perkins packed up his crime scene gear and went to his car. Simpson and D'Angelo finished talking to the neighbors. "They told me he works at the GE in Lynn," Simpson said. "I'll call them in the morning. Anthony says he'll stay here. I'll get Eddie to come over in the morning and give him a break." "Do that," Jesse said. Perkins got into his truck and drove away. D'Angelo settled in behind the wheel of his cruiser in front of the house. "I got to get going, Jesse," Simpson said. Jesse nodded. Simpson shifted his weight a little. "You going to be all right?" he said. "Yes." "Okay," Simpson said. He walked back toward his cruiser and stopped and turned back toward Jesse. "I'm sorry about Abby," he said. "Thanks, Sue." Simpson got into his cruiser, started it, and drove down Northside Drive. In the rearview mirror, he could see that Jesse was still standing where he'd left him.